You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
When Jesus Christ was born long ago, the Middle East was filled with terrified people. When the wise men came to Jerusalem seeking the newborn King of the Jews, St. Matthew tells us that Herod became alarmed and all Jerusalem with him. Mary and Joseph were afraid. God told Joseph to flee to Egypt because Herod wanted to kill the Christ child. And that certainly was an anxious nighttime flight to refuge. The best known fear in that ancient story was the fear of the shepherds, who the Bible tells us were in the same country, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the Bible says they were sore afraid. The Middle East was and is now a place of fear. This past Wednesday, we went to war to liberate Kuwait. That has driven us trembling to reach out to God in prayer. We pray to God for a quick resolution to the terrors of war. This cannot last long, we pray. That would divide us deeply and multiply the already terrible consequences of the conflict. We pray to God for victory. Victory is His to give or to withhold. The strongest army can easily be defeated if the Lord so chooses. We pray to God that the lives of loved ones and friends be shielded from death and harm in this desert storm. The God who was with Daniel in the lion's den, the God who protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, this is the same God who can shield our own loved ones now if He so wills. For that, we pray. And we Americans should pray to God that the terrors of war drive each one of us to repentance. Psalm 139 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." No one has wanted this war. But this is a sinful world. Not only the Iraqis, but we too are sinners. If we were holy, the Middle East would still be a paradise. But we are not. The Middle East is more of a hell than a paradise. If you haven't seen it in peace, now in war, we see the terrible consequences of humanity's sin, all humanity's sin, mine and yours too. If war does not lead us with crushed and humble hearts to the Bible, if this war does not lead us to throw ourselves on the mercy of God in Jesus, our only Savior, then you and I are of all people most to be pitied. Some weeks before Christmas, when we were still hoping that this terrible war could be avoided, I was at home reading the Sunday comics. And how far away that seems now. My attention was caught by a comic strip called Shoe. The captions for that comic strip said, "This Christmas there's something our troops in the Middle East could really use. Something that hasn't been seen in those parts for quite some time. Wise men." Wise men are people who look to heaven for guidance. You and I now need wisdom from heaven. James chapter 1 says, "If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God." And oh, today we ask God to give us wisdom. Murderous King Herod was fearful, but he was not a wise man who sought heaven's help. Saddam Hussein has shown no signs of fear. He has shown no signs of wisdom. His self-serving references to God and Jesus Christ are not appeals to the God and Christ of the Christian faith. No, these evil men were not wise. Wise men and wise women are people who humbly look to heaven for guidance. Heaven, in turn, guides wise men and women. To the people frightened in the days of Jesus' birth, God repeatedly sent a message from heaven, and that message was, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Fear not. Literally, the biblical text says, stop being afraid. And today God says to you and to a nation at war, look to heaven for guidance. Fear not. Many a time that guidance from heaven came to fearful people through angels. Angels appeared several times to Mary and Joseph. God sent angels to the shepherds. Perhaps God's guidance to the wise men involved angels too. What does the word angel bring to your mind? Winged creatures? The Bible tells us, yes, they are winged creatures. Protecting creatures? Yes, they are that too. But one additional fact about angels is especially important to us now in our fears. An angel is a messenger from God. The word angel is a Greek word that was originally applied to human messengers. Often these messengers came from a battlefield with word about the outcome of the war. God sends messengers from heaven to frighten people, and he does it in order to give us the news of the battle. And what is that news these messengers bring? Is it good or bad? Do they tell fearful listeners of defeat or of victory? What say the divine messengers? The angel sent by God to the frightful shepherds, stop being afraid, for look, I have good news for you. These messengers of victory come not from an earthly battlefield, but from the heavenly war department. They come from a war department, not a defense department. No matter how it may look to you today, the Bible teaches that God is on the attack against evil. In the birth of Jesus Christ, God was attacking the evil of our world. In Bethlehem, in the Middle East, God laid siege to the earth. The whole life of Jesus Christ was a battle against the evil we see all about us. The Bible records how Jesus fought off the temptations of the devil. The Bible tells us how the kingdom of evil feared Jesus Christ. The decisive battle was joined at Calvary, where Christ was crucified. There, God unleashed his anger at our sinful humanity. The fury of Desert Storm is nothing compared to the fury God unleashed at evil on Calvary. But God did unleash his fury at evil, not against us, but rather against his innocent son. When the anguish and suffering of Calvary was over, while disciples were deep in grief, God sent another angel, this one to proclaim victory on Easter morning. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Christ won the battle. So at Easter we sing, and we shall sing again this coming Easter and every Easter until God takes his penitent and believing Christians to heaven. We sing, the strife is o'er, the battle done. Now is the victor's song begun. Is the victory really won? If Christ conquered, why have we gone to war? If his resurrection means life, why are men and women dying? If evil has been defeated, why was there an evil Herod? Why an evil Saddam Hussein? James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God. And again, heaven gives guidance to us as we seek answers. Revelation chapter 12 describes the war between God and evil this way. And then a war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels, and they are the forces of good, had to fight with the dragon, and the dragon fought, and his angels, they are the forces of evil. But the dragon was not strong enough, nor was there a place for them in heaven any longer, and the great dragon was hurled down, the old serpent, called devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, was hurled down to the earth, and his angels were hurled down with him. The kingdom of evil has already lost the decisive battle. Though evil now rages and terrifies us, even as evil raged when the conquering Christ first came into this world, God gives his people victory through Jesus Christ. Now is time to resist evil. And now is a time in true repentance to put your faith and hope in God. The greatest thing that you and I can do now, this Sunday, is to reach out to God in this time of national and world crisis. We have nothing to offer God. Only our sin and death and fear. Nothing in my hands I bring, goes the hymn Rock of Ages. Simply to thy cross I cling. We reach out to God in fear. The terrors facing our troops are terrors of death facing sinful people. We reach out to God in the midst of death. Give us comfort, O Lord, in this dark and sorrowful time. We reach out to God as sinners. Why are we at war? Ultimately, because you and I are part and parcel of a sinful, fallen humanity. Many Americans have paid lip service to the social value of churches in the past, but too few Americans have heeded the message God sends through the church. Repent and believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. We reach out to God for quick victory and the safe return home of our loved ones. It's not because of any imagined intrinsic goodness that we ask God for this victory, but we beg God for quick victory only because of his mercies in Jesus Christ. Wise men, wise women, wise children, today are looking to heaven for guidance. What does heaven say to people fearful in the Middle East? What does heaven say to you now? In the 16th chapter of John, Jesus says, I told you this so that you will have peace in me. In this world you have trouble. Let me repeat what the Savior said. In this world you have trouble. How true that is. But Jesus says, have courage. I have conquered the world. Amen. Apostle Paul knew what it was like to be in danger from imprisonment, torture, and even death. He faced it on more than one occasion, and nevertheless, his faith never wavered, because it rested on God's eternal promise of hope. I'd like to read you a portion of St. Paul's writings from the concluding verses of his epistle to the Romans, chapter 8, which both reflect his hope and provide a foundation for your hope, even during these bad times. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hymns are expressions of great faith, written and sung by people who have come to know and to trust in God's promises. I'd like to read the words of one particular hymn, one which truly speaks to the spiritual needs of a nation at war. I know it will speak to your needs as well. The name of the hymn is When in the Hour of Deepest Need. When in the hour of deepest need, we know not where to look for aid. When days and nights of anxious thought no help or counsel yet have brought. Our comfort then is this alone, that we may meet before your throne and cry to you, O faithful God, for rescue from our sorry lot. For you have made a promise true to pardon those who flee to you through him whose name alone is great, our Savior and our Advocate. And so we come, O God, today, and all our woes before you lay, for sorely tried, cast down, we stand perplexed by fears on every hand. So we with all our hearts each day to you our glad thanksgiving pay, and then walk obedient to your word, and now and ever praise you, Lord. Amen.